laid down over the centuries are not really the laws which are applicable today.
The time traveller, for so it will be convenient to speak of him, was expounding a strange matter to us. His grey eyes shone and twinkled, and his usually pale face was flushed and animated. And he put it to us in this way, marking the points with a lean forefinger as we sat and lazily admired his earnestness over this new paradox.
You must follow me carefully. You see, I shall have to challenge one or two ideas that are almost universally accepted. For instance, the geometry they taught you at school is founded on a misconception.
What?
What? Isn't that rather a large thing to expect us to begin with?
Well, I don't mean to ask you to accept anything without reasonable grounds for it. You know, of course, that a mathematical line has no real thickness, no existence. Granted. They taught you that.
Yes.
Well, neither has a mathematical plane. These things are mere abstractions.
Yes, that's right.
Well, then, nor having only length, breadth, and thickness, can a cube have a real existence?
No, I object. Of course, a solid body may exist. All things...
No, so most people think. But wait a moment. Can an instantaneous cube exist?
Don't follow you.
Well, can a cube that doesn't last for any time have a real existence?
Well...
Clearly, any real body must have extension in four directions. It must have length, breadth, thickness, and duration.
Duration.
You see, there really are four dimensions, three of which we call the three planes of space, and a fourth, time.
Quite so, quite so.
Well, now it's very remarkable, isn't it, that this plane of time is so extensively overlooked, this fourth dimension.
Yes. But if time is really only a fourth dimension of space, why is it, and why has it always been regarded as something different? And why can't we move about in time as we move about in other dimensions of space?
Well, are you sure we can move freely in space? We can go right and left, backward and forward freely enough, and human beings have always done so. I admit we move freely in two dimensions, but how about up and down? Gravitation limits us there.
Not exactly.
Well, there are balloons. We are developing air travel.
Oh, but before the balloons, save for spasmodic jumping, man had no freedom of vertical movement.
Still, they could move a little up and down.
Oh, easier, far easier down than up.
Of course, quite right. But you cannot move at all in time. You cannot get away from the present moment.
My dear sir, that's just where you're wrong. That's just where the whole world has gone wrong. We're always getting away from the present moment. Our mental existences, which are immaterial and have no dimensions, are passing along the time dimension with a uniform velocity from the cradle to the grave, just as we should travel down if we began our existence 50 miles above the Earth's surface.
But the great difficulty in what you say about our movement along the time dimension is this.
Yes?
You can move in all directions of space, but you cannot move about in time. Only in one direction.
That is the germ of my great discovery. You're wrong to say that we can't move about in time. For instance, if I'm recalling an incident very vividly, I go back to the instance of its occurrence. I become absent-minded, as you say. I jump back in time for a moment. Of course, we have no means of staying back in time, but just as man is able to go up against gravitation in a balloon, why shouldn't he hope that ultimately he may be able to stop or accelerate his drift along the time dimension, or even turn about and travel the other way, eh?
Oh, this is all
poppycock.
Why not? It's against reason, that's
what
why.
What reason?
Well,
long ago I had a vague inkling of a machine.
To travel through time?
Yes, which would travel in any direction of space and time as the driver determined.
Well, it would be remarkably convenient for the historians.
Well, yes.
One might